Hi, I'm your host, Asia Tab, and you're listening to The Spark. The summer season is typically a time where family members host cookouts and celebrate. We're about a week away from the 4th of July holiday, and fireworks can be a trauma reminder for those who have served in combat, went through a fire, explosion, or gun violence. Sam Peterson is a mental health patient turned program founder at Altier Healthcare. Sam has founded both outpatient and inpatient treatment programs for veterans and first responders to receive more and effective treatment for mental health. Thanks for being with us, Sam. How are you doing today?
Oh, absolutely. Doing great. Thanks for having me, Asia. I think this is, at this time of the year, it's really important to talk about how, you know, our celebrations are affecting veterans and,
yes,
you know, like you mentioned, people who have survived gun violence.
And that brings me, first of all, I want to say thank you for your service. It's just an honor to be able to talk to you. I know you did 3 tours in Afghanistan. So what was your journey into the military? Why did you join?
Yeah. I'm like a lot of folks. I grew up in a small town in rural Washington, and just wanted to get out and see the world. And the military was a great way to do that. And as soon as I signed up, went to the recruiter and he showed me a couple of recruiting videos for EOD, that's Explosive Ordnance Disposal. And I was immediately hooked. You know, we had robots and explosions.
Yeah.
It was something out of the movies, and it immediately captured, you know, my attention and my interest. And, you know, then I ended up in one of the hardest academic schools in the Department of Defense, on my way to become a bomb technician. And I loved every second of it.
Wow. And you went to Afghanistan and you did 3 tours. Were you nervous to go there? And how has that experience shaped you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first time was definitely the most nerve-wracking. I remember, I hope it's not too morbid for your listeners, but I just remember getting out of the truck on an explosive ordnance disposal incident. So we'd roll up and there would be, an improvised explosive device someone was trying to actively use to target us, there on scene. And I just remember every time I'd get out of the truck, I would step out of the truck with my right leg first, because that's the one I was okay with getting blown off.
Wow. And,
it's a little morbid, but it's just one of those things you think about, as a soldier when you're in that kind of environment all the time.
And what years did you serve?
So I served from the beginning of 2009 to the end of 2015.
Okay. And you retired in 2015?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I didn't retire. I left the Army in 2015.
And what led you to that decision?
It was getting very difficult to just stay in the Army. I was dealing with, a lot of PTSD symptoms, and my traumatic brain injury was really starting to flare up. So, it was becoming very difficult to regulate my emotions and to not have outbursts that, would cause issues in my career. So, it was time to get out, and, that ended up, leading me into the mental health field after a while.
And you just spoke a little about PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. What is that? And for you, when did you realize you were experiencing that?
Yeah, so post-traumatic stress disorder, if you just talk in broad strokes neurologically, if we look at a brain, what we see is an underactive prefrontal cortex, so an underactive executive functioning center, and an overactive amygdala. So the amygdala, the emotional center of the brain where our fight, flight, and freeze response is located, is, responsible for those emotional reactions, the panic attacks, that sort of thing. And you'll see that being overactive. So people who are triggered by, their environment, whether it's, fireworks, gunshots, what have you, the amygdala takes over and boom, all of a sudden you're back in it. You're back in that same emotional response that you had been during that time period. And Yeah, sorry, what was the second part of that question?
Oh, it was what is that trans what was that transition like coming out of the military in 2015 and realizing that you had PTSD?
It really hit home. It was right after like my second deployment. I was the one of the bomb technicians attached to a special forces team, and we were going in and hitting targets. And I just remember, being back home because I got injured and got sent home early. Being back home and walking into a Walmart to go buy a TV for a house I'd just bought, and someone like gave me an offhanded look, and immediately my brain switched into threat response, and I had a full-blown panic attack right there in Walmart. And those continued until it was almost a daily occurrence. And, it got to the point where, I was quite frankly suicidal, and just dealing with that level of anxiety and panic every day, just it was incredibly crippling.
And what would PTSD or a panic attack, what would that look like for a person watching someone experience that?
Yeah, so it's hard to see a lot of times. Everyone, shows outer signs of these differently, but I can speak from, the patient side of the house. All of a sudden elevated heart rate, you look down at your smartwatch and you're, sitting somewhere and your heart rate's in the hundreds, sweating, eyes are darting, irritability can, set in. And it's really watching someone get, into a sympathetic nervous system response. So, sweating, agitation, pacing around, that elevated heart rate, those are some pretty solid signs.
And how did you work through your PTSD?
I was really fortunate. I had, not only friends, but doctors really helped me through that process and got me in touch with a lot of what we would call alternative therapies for PTSD. And one of those that really helped me was ketamine infusion therapy. And ketamine, the reason ketamine is effective for PTSD is it basically is a control alt delete for the brain. So, if someone's having these symptoms, ketamine, they can go in, get a couple ketamine infusions and immediately get relief from that. And typically we see between 70 to 80% of patients respond after a few ketamine infusions, and it gives your brain, that space to start reprocessing. Because at the end of the day, what we need to do in order to treat PTSD more effectively is to reinforce the prefrontal cortex. So get it so that the prefrontal cortex has the power to tell the amygdala to calm down.
You're a veteran, so you're out of the military now. Does active duty veterans have PTSD the same way that veterans do?
Yeah, so it really the short answer is it depends. There are so many different combat facing MOSs or jobs in the military. It really just depends on the person. What have they experienced? Has there been a intensity of combat within, the past few months or years of their engagement, like with the military, or not? And typically, what we see as well is, there's that initial trauma. Some people can get over that. It causes, that PTSD response in others. And a lot of times what we'll see is like kind of a delayed fuse, if you will, where an individual will have this trauma response, and then after, a couple years, it'll really start to manifest into full-blown PTSD, where they're having panic attacks, they can't deal with crowds, that sort of thing.
Wow. And what is the impact of PTSD on a vet's family and relationships?
I mean, it puts a severe burden on anyone's ability to function in a healthy relationship. It's you're constantly in this state of hyper arousal, and it's like anxiety on super steroids that the government made.
So, Sam, could you tell us your story and your journey?
Yeah, absolutely, Asia. So, you know, as we were talking about before, I was an Army bomb technician. So, you know, it was my job to, you know, go down and deal with improvised explosive devices. And although I really loved my job and I found it really fulfilling, you know, when I got back, the constant state of alertness that you have to have in those situations, you know, in Afghanistan, in a foreign country, it wears on you. And, you know, it got to the point where I was having panic attacks pretty much every day. And those panic attacks continued to, you know, worsen until it got to the point where I just wanted to end it all, just so it was quiet in my head. And, you know, I put a 45 in my mouth and I was about to ready to pull the trigger and my phone went off in my pocket. And it was one of my friends that, you know, that text message ended up saving my life. And I was able to get into these alternative therapies, you know, that we're using now in program, like ketamine infusion therapy, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and eventually transcranial magnetic stimulation. And those treatments really got me on an upward trajectory, gave me space for my symptoms, allowed me to heal. And, you know, I didn't really realize like how much of an impact, you know, my friend reaching out and saving my life was until 5 months later. One of my mentors walked out into his backyard and shot himself with his 3-year-old kid in the house. And I was the last guy to talk to him at the unit. And you just never would have known he was suffering. And that's the difficult thing, you know, about a lot of these invisible wounds is it's very hard to tell the degree to which someone is suffering. So, you know, I just want to highlight that it's really important that if you think someone's struggling, reach out and ask, because you never know when the phone call or the text message that you send is, you know, going to be that intervention that saves somebody's life.
And Sam, you are a patient turned program founder at Altier Healthcare, helping outpatient and inpatient treatment programs for veterans. So what was your journey to that and what type of programs do you offer there?
Yeah, so after, you know, after Neil's suicide, it really became apparent that we needed more effective mental health care for vets and first responders. The typical talk therapy and pharmacotherapy is just not working for vets. So I co-founded an outpatient clinic called Mind Spa in Denver, and we started doing, you know, ketamine infusion therapy, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and transcranial magnetic stimulation, along with talk therapy, for veterans and first responders who are struggling with PTSD, depression, anxiety, and traumatic brain injuries. What I was seeing, though, is we were contracted with the VA, and I was watching these veterans come in the door who were suffering from significant traumatic brain injuries and PTSD, and they couldn't access our treatments because the VA wasn't approving them. So, you know, I got an opportunity to come on board with Altior and create this inpatient experience for veterans suffering from PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, and anxiety, and bring these new therapies to a program that the VA was paying for so that veterans had more access. And, you know, it's been incredibly, incredibly rewarding to see how fast we can take someone from, you know, where I was at to feeling significantly better. Like, just to give you an example, like our average time to full symptom remission within our Tree of Power program, that's our inpatient program in Idaho, our average time to full symptom remission is between 14 to 17 days.
Wow.
Just to give you an example of like if you were to just take like a pharmacotherapy approach, just to start to see an effect from a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, a classic antidepressant, takes between 8 to 10 weeks. And we're doing it in 2 to 3.
How can we support our veterans more dealing with PTSD?
That's a good question. I think there's, it comes down to, if there's a veteran in your life who's dealing with PTSD, the first thing they need to know is that they're supported and that they're loved. That this is a really difficult thing to deal with for a lot of people. There's a lot of shame involved in it as well from the veteran's perspective. And they need to know that, hey, they're supported and there's people in their lives that care about them and that are here to help them. At the end of the day, this stuff is treatable. We can make changes in the brain. We can rewire the brain. We have the treatment protocols to do that. And that's, the other thing that vets need, that we can support vets by giving them the knowledge that they don't have to feel this way all the time, that there are treatment protocols that can be used to, heal the brain and rewire it so that they're not stuck in this perpetual state. Because so often in traditional medicine, we get sold this bag of goods that you can't heal a traumatic brain injury, that you can't, heal PTSD, and that's simply the case.
And Sam, you spoke about it earlier, but I wanted to talk about it again. What are the signs of PTSD, or are there any symptoms that we all should be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of learning how to recognize, when someone's having a panic attack. If someone is all of a sudden they go from good to go, there's a loud noise, maybe a firework goes off, and then it kicks off this hypervigilance. You'll notice they'll start, reacting like they're in a sympathetic nervous system response. So probably stand up, a lot of pacing. They might get sweaty, irritable, looking around and looking for threats to engage with. These are, all the signs that someone is having, a panic attack.
For the 4th of July holidays, I'm sure we can't prevent people from doing fireworks. Is there anything that we can do to support our veterans during that time?
Yeah, I mean, the fireworks are definitely going to happen. A strategy that I used to take was I would just go into my basement with some Bose headphones on and like just watch a movie marathon. That way, like I had some, had something that was noise canceling, so I wasn't hearing the fireworks like go off randomly all the time, and could just focus it on something. And I mean, I think, unfortunately, avoidance is a strategy. It's, in mental health, we don't like to say that. But in this instance, I think it's very apt.
Sam, how has your life changed from being a veteran to dealing with PTSD to now being a mental health counselor, helping other veterans go through what you went through?
It's really rewarding to be able to show these individuals that, not only is there hope, but we can help get them better in a pretty rapid clip and help them stay better. I don't think you can ever fully get rid of PTSD, but we can certainly turn down the volume significantly on the effect that the amygdala is having, over the brain.
And for a veteran that is listening that would like to be a part of your program, how can they reach you or join?
Yeah. If you're listening and, what I've been saying sounds good and you're like, hey, that's me, I need help. Our Patriot Power Up program can be found at www.patriotpowerup.com, and just give us a call. we're happy to help. We are in network with VA Community Care. So we are here to provide a more effective, treatment protocol for these issues.
Sam, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Is there anything that I may have missed that you feel we didn't cover that you would like to put out there?
No, I really think that they hit everything. As far as like something I'd like to put out there, just talking to all the vets out there, you are not alone. What you're going through right now is treatable. We have the protocols and the treatments in place so that we can help you. You do not have to suffer alone. You don't have to suffer in silence. We can make it so that this is not your norm, and we can bring you back to the person you were before.
Thank you so much, Sam, for sharing your story with us. And thank you, everyone, for listening and making us a part of your day. Remember to check out our website at WITF.org and be sure to like us on Facebook and The Spark. We would love to connect with you more online as well. Until then, I'm Asia Tabb, and you're listening to The Spark.